Well, good evening, everybody. It's so good to have you here. You should all have a little packet that looks like that. And you should have a pen or a pencil if you want to take notes and fill in those blanks that are there. And I do this for a purpose. I hope that long after I've come and gone, that what I've brought is multiplying through you and beyond you to other folks as we go along. This is about embracing the prophetic. When you think about the prophetic, a lot of folks get freaked out about it. They think it's voodoo, or they think it's horoscopes, or they think it's weird stuff. But I want to tell you, it's not weird. I believe with all my heart that everyone needs a word from God. And I also believe it doesn't have to be weird. So I promise you, I make a pledge to you that this will be weird-free. Hopefully there's going to be some wonder. Hopefully there's going to be some revelation that comes to you, that just some aha moments that helps you not only observe other folks being prophetic, but realizing that if you're a believer, we all can hear from God. And at various times we can speak on His behalf. So that's what these classes are about. The writer of Psalm 119, verse 105 tells us, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Most Christians believe all that God spoke through His word. Most of us, and I have to say most of us these days, because there's a lot of believers that don't believe that God's word is true. But let me tell you, it's true. Every word, every period, it's all true. It's all true. Most Christians agree that the Bible is God's word, and I agree. But many believe that the Bible contains all God said and all that He will ever say. I want to tell you that our Creator speaks in many ways to those that have ears to hear. Many ways. One of the ways God speaks is through prophecy, and that's going to be our focus. Prophecy is very important to me, and I'll share a little more personally about it on Sunday morning with the church. But when I was 20 years old and just gotten filled with the Spirit that night, a man came and prophesied over me, and he said, "You're going to pastor a church, you're going to be a minister, and you're going to prophesy to nations." Well, I was an Arkansas boy, and I thought, why would anybody ever want to go outside of Arkansas? It's got all the hunting, all the fishing you could ever want. You know, I had my pickup, you know, I was a redneck guy. I was going to college. I was a business major, an economics minor, and got a degree in education. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to go into business and make a lot of money and do all that stuff. And I thought, what's this guy on about? But I couldn't deny that I felt something inside when he said that said, don't forget this. Don't discard this. Well, what I didn't know was about to happen is the Jesus movement was about to roll across our campus. We had hundreds of kids get saved in the next year. And my wife and I were the only married couple of all those kids. And we had a house at the end of the football field on our campus. And so everybody came to our house. So our church started because we had a house. And we had the miracle of the never-ending peanut butter jar. I'm telling you the truth. If you feed college kids, they will come. Well, we were poor. We didn't have anything, but we had peanut butter, and we started feeding people, and that peanut butter jar never went empty. And that went on for several months, and we just thought the miracle of the peanut butter. And so God did all kinds of things in those early days that I wasn't expecting. What I didn't expect is I thought church was just a place you go to. I didn't know it was who you are. Didn't know it was how you live. And I didn't know that I was called to ministry. I'd heard what that guy said, but I didn't know that I was called there. Well, church starts, it comes around our house, it starts growing out of our house. And I remember that word. I got an invitation to England. I go to England to a conference, and they put my name on a brochure, you know, Wayne Drain. By the way, that is my name. It is. Don't laugh, it's not funny to me. So I was going to this conference in London, and my name was there, and a guy from New Zealand was flying into that conference, looking at the brochure, and the Lord spoke to him and said, "That guy with the funny name," and I just imagined he was talking about me for some reason. And he said, "That guy with the funny name wants you to write this down. He's a pastor. He's going to prophesy to nations." Now, a lady that lived over in Wales, well, she's actually living in Bristol at the time, but she was Welsh. Her husband and she were going to the conference, but the last minute she couldn't go. And the Lord spoke to her a word for that guy with the funny name. It's going to be at the conference. And she wrote on a piece of paper, "You're going to be a pastor and you're going to prophesy to nations." So I heard that thing three times, and that prophetic word set the course for my life. Now, the test of a prophecy is, does it come true? Well, we started a church, and we pastored that church for 45 years. We turned it over to another guy just 2 years ago, and so I guess that part of the word was true. I'm a pastor, and I've prophesied now in 36 nations to date, so that word has been true. And let me tell you, I believe that prophetic words that are from the Lord, that they can bear scrutiny. They will not go against Scripture. We'll look at all that as we go along. But I want to tell you that God does speak, and He speaks for our direction. He speaks for confirmation. He speaks for all kinds of ways. But prophecy adjusted and changed the course of my life. And He may want to do that with you. It may already have done that as we go along and we find out. But let me start with a biblical principle. God does speak. He does communicate to us. I co-wrote a book with Tom Lane called He Still Speaks. It's about embracing the prophetic today. I want to tell you that God hasn't lost His voice. He spoke in the past, He speaks today, and He has promised He will continue to speak. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 8:3, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that is constantly proceeding out of the mouth of God." And the oldest book in the Bible confirms this principle in Job 33:14. Job said, "For God does speak, now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it." And in John's Gospel, one of my favorite verses says that believers in Jesus should expect to hear from God. He expects us to hear from Him. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." If you are a sheep, if you are a believer, if you've been born again, if you're following Jesus, there is an expectation that you will hear from Him. You won't need a middleman like me or someone else. You can hear directly from God yourself. One of the ways that God speaks is through a prophetic word, and that's going to be our focus. Prophecy is a spiritual gift given by the Holy Spirit. One of the best definitions I've ever found for prophecy is this. Prophecy is a living word from a living God to a living people. Prophecy is a living word from a living God to a living people. Of all the religions that people believe in around the world, Christianity is the only one whose God is still alive. And He walks with us, and He talks with us, and He tells us that we are His own. We have more than a philosophy, more than a figurehead, more than a statue that we pray to, more than a series of beliefs. We believe in a living God who speaks a living word to a living people. If you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 14. This is sort of ground level zero for prophecy. I'm going to read verse 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 14, starting with verse 1. "Follow the way of love." And let me just give that a pregnant pause right there. I'll talk about it more as we go along, but Paul had a job with the Corinthians. They were known for two things. They excelled in spiritual gifts, and they excelled in immorality. So he had a job. He had to figure out how to pull that precious forward and let the worthless drop off. And so he starts talking about prophecy in 1 Corinthians 12 and how it works. Then 1 Corinthians 13, he starts talking about love, because he tells without the context of love, you can prophesy with the tongues of men and of angels. You have not love, you have nothing. So follow the way of love, and that needs to be the motivation for any spiritual gift that we use. And eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for three reasons: strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. King James says edification, exhortation, and consolation. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. He gives three reasons for prophecy here, and people have a warped sense of prophecy because sometimes folk think about prophecy through an Old Testament filter of law. Prophecy is about judgment. Prophecy is about being your sin being called out. How many of you know that Jesus changed everything? He fulfilled the law, and he ushered in grace. So his filter for prophecy in the New Testament is not about judgment, not about calling people's sin out. It's about three things. It's about edification, which means to build up. It's where we get our word for edifice or building. It's about building up. It's about exhortation, which means to call people near to God. I have a theory that most people that are in sin know that they're in sin. You don't really have to tell them that they're in sin. They already know. What works better, I think, is to call someone near to God rather than to push them back further in their sin. And then comfort is the third thing. Comfort means to cheer up, to console, or comfort. I don't know about you, but I need those things all the time. I need to be edified on any given week. I need some exhortation in my life to be called nearer to God. And there are those times, especially in these times we're living in, that comfort goes a long way. Three parts of prophecy. Number one is revelation. Number two, interpretation. Number three, application. Let's break that down for a minute. Revelation, what is God saying? Say you had a word that you start feeling something about India. And say someone comes and says, I just feel something about India for you. Maybe you hear in a dream or a vision, India just becomes everywhere. I remember I was thinking about England for 10 years before I went there. I was crazy about the Beatles. Some of you don't even know who that was, but I was crazy about the Beatles. And I thought, man, I've got to get to England somehow. My other hope was to meet Paul McCartney, who I wanted to be. And I'll tell you as we go along that I got to meet Sir Paul McCartney, and I'll tell you about that in one of these as we go along, but it's a wonderful, wonderful day. But Revelation, what is God saying? You hear maybe you're called to go to India. Then there's interpretation. You have to interpret. What is that you heard? What does it mean? You start to weigh. You start to judge. You start to examine. Is that really a word from the Lord? Or is that just the pizza I had for dinner last night messing with me? Then the third thing is application. What do I do about it, what it means? Do I pray for India? Do I support someone who is a missionary in India? Should I go to India? Well, some of those answers come slowly. They don't happen all at once. So we have got a lot of young folks in our church, and we have a real heart for the nations in our church, partially because I have a call to nations. And so we're always getting, I feel called to New Zealand. I feel called to go here. I feel called to go to Africa. I've been called to go to Ireland. And these young people, and so they all come up and they said, Pastor Wayne, I've been called to go here. I've been called to go there. And I said, well, do you think you've heard from the Lord? And they'll say, yeah, I think I have. Then their next question is, do you think the church can send me to Ireland? And I said, well, possibly, but you need to lean into it. You need to take some steps of faith. Well, what can I do? Get a passport. If you're going to go to another nation, you're going to need a passport. And it's a little test for them. A passport costs about $250. And if you're not willing to figure out a way to raise $250 to get a passport, chances are you're not ready to be sent there. So there's all kinds of ways that we're real open to the prophetic in our church, but we also know that not every word that comes is from God. And we'll talk about that as we go along too. But how do you discern? Well, I would rather us entertain the possibility that God is speaking rather than to automatically think, well, God's not saying anything. And so we can take some steps toward a word as we're trying to examine to see if it really is a word from God. Does that make sense? Well, let me just take a second here before we go on and let me deal with the question that what about the cessationist idea that spiritual gifts are not for today? That is a major teaching in the body of Christ. Some of our main denominations teach that teaching. The line of thought is this: we no longer need spiritual gifts since the apostolic age ended with the death of the Apostle John and the canon of Scripture was completed. That's the line of thinking. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 5 through 7, "For in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech, with all knowledge, God's thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. To be revealed means when the Jesus returns. He was saying there will be spiritual gifts until Jesus returns. How many of you know he hasn't returned for the second time? Have you figured that out? Do you believe he's coming? Okay, sort of a mediocre response there. Do you believe he's coming? Okay. Well, most cessationists quote from 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 13, and it includes a phrase in verse 10, when perfection or the perfect comes, the imperfect disappears. Many think this means when the canon of Scripture was complete, there would be no need for spiritual gifts. And they read from verse 8, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease, knowledge will pass away. Let me tell you, no prophecy will ever contradict this, ever. But this is not the perfect. The perfect is Jesus. The perfect is Jesus. This talks about the perfect, but this is not the perfect. So when the perfect returns, when Jesus returns, there'll be no need for gifts because in a moment we'll understand everything. We'll be with him. He'll be our light and we'll be with him and there'll be no need for spiritual gifts. We'll be right there with him. But until he returns, I believe we need spiritual gifts more than we possibly ever have needed them. Verse 12 points out the problem with this, that perfect is not the scripture, it's the return of Jesus when we see him face to face. Theologian Donald G. writes this, and I encourage you to read some things by Donald G. He's a charismatic Pentecostal guy, but he's a wonderful theologian. Do you hear what I did right there? I implied that Pentecostals and charismatics aren't very theological. No, I'm not saying that. Some of them are not, I can tell you. Some of them are not. But he said, Donald G. said, there is nothing in Scripture, reason, or experience to make us believe that the gifts of the Spirit are not for today, every single one of them, all right? Well, how does that work? How do you know that you can prophesy, that you've heard from God? How do you know if you have a gift of prophecy? How do you know if you're a prophet? How do you know if you're just being caught up in the emotion or your imagination? How do you discern all that? Well, in my book, I talk about that there's four spheres of prophecy. It's helpful to think about the process of a bricklayer. When the church was growing out of our house and we're trying to figure out what to do and we didn't have any money, we couldn't feed all these kids, I thought, I've got to get a job outside college. And so I thought, I know, there's a bricklaying job. I'll go do that. And so I went and I took a bricklaying course, and of all the students this guy had ever had, I was the worst. He said, Mr. Drain, I don't think this is your calling. And he didn't even know what that word meant to me, calling, but I'd been thinking about that. No, it wasn't my calling. I can tell you that right now. But I learned some things. I learned there's different layers of skill in laying bricks. You start out as a laborer. That means you can read the manual and you can assist or serve others. Then you become an apprentice that start doing some of the stuff of laying brick. You get to carry the mud, they call it the cement, and you get it to the bricklayers. Then there's a journeyman who practices the craft of bricklaying under the tutelage of what's called a master craftsman, who not only lays bricks, but a master craftsman trains up others to lay bricks. So on a spiritual level, it's similar to the maturing process of those with a prophetic gifting. So let me break it down this way. There's four spheres of prophecy. Number one is the prophecy of Scripture. Peter the Apostle wrote, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone whose own interpretation. For no prophecy is ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is what God has said. The Scripture was breathed by the Holy Spirit. The word came from God into men who were being carried along by the Holy Spirit. They weren't just a bunch of smart guys. God spoke. The Scripture is a prophecy. It's a prophecy of Scripture. No prophecy should ever contradict the principles of Scripture. But like that first phase, that laborer phase, of servant phase of bricklayer, we can all read the Scripture. Much as laborers and helpers begin by reading the worker's manual, the Bible. When we're saved, the Bible says we are co-laborers with Christ. So I encourage you, don't see prophecy as a shortcut around knowing the Scripture. I can hear from God. I don't need to read Scripture. If you can hear from God, you better know the Scripture. What comes out of your mouth should never contradict Scripture. How will you know if you don't know the Scripture? So the first phase is to be a laborer, a co-laborer with Christ in the prophecy of Scripture. And what you do is it's your worker's manual. So you read it. When I heard that I was going to be a prophet to the nations, I read everything I could find about prophecy in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I wanted to know what that was about. The second sphere of prophecy is a spirit of prophecy. Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 14:31 through 33, he says, "For you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all be encouraged, and the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." This is about a contagious anointing of the Holy Spirit. Like the time when King Saul went in among the prophets and he began to prophesy. 1 Samuel 10 says, "Saul was changed into a different person," look at this, "when the Spirit of God came upon him in power and he joined in their prophesying." In a sense, we begin to move from being laborers or helpers to apprentices in this realm. At home, we've seen brand new believers and even little children prophesy when there was anointing. We don't believe there's a junior Holy Spirit. We believe that God speaks to kids. I'm about to finish up writing a new book because God still speaks to kids. I hope that's out by June. You can be looking for that. But I remember a time that it was on a Sunday, and I had to make a decision on a Monday, and I didn't know what to do. I can't remember what the decision was, but I had to decide between two things. And so I couldn't hear the Lord. And I'm praying, and I finally get quiet, and I said, Lord, are you going to tell me what to do? And he said, I'm going to use the children. Go ask them to pray for you. So I went down the hall to our 5- and 6-year-olds and talked to the youth pastor and let them know I was coming. And I said, Pastor Wayne really needs to hear from the Lord. I've got to make a decision tomorrow, and I don't know what to do. Would you all pray for me? So all the kids came and gathered around me, and they start praying for me. And this one little girl, get quiet, this little girl reached out her hand and put it on my shoulder, and she said, "Oh, Lord, you need to speak to Pastor Wayne." And she said, there's a decision. There's two roads for you to take on Monday. One looks like the road you ought to take, and the other road doesn't look like a good road to take. The Lord says, take that bad road. Okay, let's go play. And then she left. Well, I knew exactly what she was talking about. The next day, I thought, surely that can't be God. I took that road, and that was God. Let me tell you, God is speaking all the time. That's not the problem. We've just been taught that only the professionals can hear. Only the special people, only the elite people can hear. But I want you to know, if you're a believer in Jesus, you can hear from God. And when there's a contagious anointing and a spirit of prophecy is in the place, you can prophesy. It doesn't mean you're a prophet. Doesn't even necessarily mean you have a gift of prophecy. It just means that you're a believer. When there's an anointing in the place, it may be that you can not only hear from God, but maybe you can speak for God. Amen? The third sphere is called a gift of prophecy. I want to tell you that, now listen to this, prophecy is a gift. It's not an award. Prophecy is a gift. It's not an award. We can desire it, but we can't earn it. It's a gift. 1 Corinthians 12:1 through 3 gives the context for how the gift of prophecy should work. In that passage, Paul was attempting to adjust the Corinthians who had a right experience but a wrong theology about spiritual things. And he just says there in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, he says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers," or it literally means spiritual things, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray by mute or deaf idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." Then he goes on to talk about different gifts of the Spirit. But he's given a context. He was attempting to adjust the Corinthians who had a right experience, but a wrong theology about spiritual things. They had a Greek mythology background of believing that there were many Greek gods who were always at war with each other. For the Christian, there are not many gods. There is only one God. And his name is Jehovah. His son is Jesus. There's only one God. The Corinthians didn't understand how the Spirit works. So Paul said, I would not have you ignorant of spiritual things. So don't continue thinking like the pagans that you once were. I know a lot of believers who I'm not sure are disciples. There's a lot of believers that says Jesus is great, but so is Buddha. So is this one, and so is that one, and so is that one. And it's more prevalent than you think, especially on our university campuses. Truth has become relative, and you can have whatever God seems right for you at the moment until it doesn't seem right for you. He explains further in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 through 10, now there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. Now to each one of the manifestations the Spirit is given, listen to this, for the common good. You're not given a gift to just say, hey, look, I've got a gift. Look at me. I'm going to start my ministry because I got a gift. No, it's for the common good. Whatever gift you have is for the good of others. It's not just to draw attention to yourself. It's to draw attention to Jesus as you serve for the common good. There's 9 gifts listed: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking different kinds of tongues, and to still another an interpretation of tongues, all by the same Spirit. There are other gifts mentioned in Romans 12, serving, giving, leadership, teaching, and mercy. But in a nutshell, Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Now, it's very important, as I mentioned earlier, a motivation, a desire to prophesy needs to be centered in love, not in ambition. If I desire a spiritual gift, if I especially desire prophecy, it's so that God can use me to love others through that gift. It's not about ambition. The gift of prophecy is like that journeyman who starts laying bricks regularly under supervision or appropriate accountability. At home in our small groups, in our youth groups, in our worship team group, wherever we are, we always incorporate prayer and worship in whatever we're doing. And we always wait on the Lord to see if he wants to speak to us. And so in that pregnant moment that we're praying, Lord, would you speak to us? People will start getting prophetic words. And when one starts getting prophetic words frequently and it's on, then the leader of that small group, that youth group will come and they'll say, Pastor Johnny has got a gift of prophecy. I mean, he's prophesying every week and it's happening. So when we hear that endorsement from those that know them in community, then we start looking for opportunities to train them, to equip them, and to give them opportunity to express their gifts under the supervision of more mature prophetic people. Is that making sense? Well, sphere number 4, the office of a prophet. The office of the prophet, this is one of the grace gifts that God gives the body of Christ through a man or a woman. It's a foundational equipping gift, a master craftsman sort of gift. Paul explains it this way in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And this is why, to equip God's people for their works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up or edified. And then in Ephesians 2, 19 and 20, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. Between phase 1 and phase 4 usually takes some time. I was called to be a pastor and to prophesy a long time before I was any good at it. There's a process. And the best context for developing your gift, whatever it may be, is the context of the community of the body of Christ. That's where your gift can be honed. People can encourage you. People that aren't too impressed with you can go, really? You're calling that a prophetic word? I've had people say, well, you missed that one, Wayne. And you need to be in the community of people so you don't start thinking you're some special elite person that no one else hears God like you do. When God speaks, it's always to anyone that has ears to hear. You really know a word's from the Lord when you start hearing it come from everywhere. You start hearing it here, and that guy's saying it, and that gal is saying it, and this song is about it, and this teaching is about it. When God starts speaking, it's for those that have ears to hear. Some will just hear a little bit sooner than others. Well, how do we receive a prophetic word? Just a few simple things here. Number one, how do you receive a prophetic word? Number one, believe that God wants to speak to you. You've had Pastor Tom Lane here before, and he may have told this story, but when he was joining a church because he had fallen in love with Jan, I really think was his motivation, but he was joining a church that his wife Jan went to, and the pastor there always prophesied over all the new people. He lined them up. He went down the line. The Lord says this to you. The Lord says that to you. The Lord says this to you. And as he's coming to Tom, Tom is sweating buckets. He didn't want to come to church that day. He did not want to. He thought what that meant is that the pastor would call out all of his sins, would expose him in front of everyone. So he said, I don't want a word. I don't want a word. I don't want a word. So this pastor's going down the line. He comes to Tom, and he said, and the Lord says, I'm sorry, Tom. I don't get anything for you. Then he went on down the line prophesying over other people. Like a good pastor, he called Tom that afternoon. He said, Tom, that has never happened before. I've always got a word for people, every single one. I don't know what happened. And Tom said, I know what happened. I didn't want a word. In fact, I'd prayed that you would not give me a word. And what he learned is that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. He doesn't kick it down. If you don't want to hear from God, the Holy Spirit will just let you have what you don't want. So I encourage you, be open. Because the Holy Spirit comes to encourage and strengthen and comfort. He doesn't come to call out your deepest sins and embarrass you in front of everyone. You understand what I'm saying? Be open to what the Holy Spirit might want to say to you, and don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. Well, number one, believe God wants to speak to you. God revealed to Jeremiah, he said, call to me and I will answer you and I'll tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. I love that. In the course of my life in Jesus, he has shown me so many things that were so wonderful that I would never have known had he not revealed it to me. I love learning about the mysteries of God from God himself. God wants to give revelational insight. When we ask, he will show us wonderful hidden things that we can't figure out on our own. I was in Omaha, Nebraska a few years ago. Sometimes the word Lord gives me words of knowledge, which is one of the gifts of the Spirit. He gave me a word for a John, a Johnny, or a Jonathan. And I said, well, Lord, which one is it? John, Johnny, or Jonathan? I mean, make up your mind. You know, you don't need to talk to God like that. I'll just tell you right now, it's not a good thing to do. So I said, oh, okay, Lord. So I wrote it down, John, Johnny, and Jonathan. Then I had a word for him. I showed up that night, and I felt a little funny about it. You know, I was struggling with God. Lord, with a church of 1,000 people here tonight, there's going to be a John. You know, how's that going to be a word of knowledge, you know? I get up in front of 10,000 people and say, does anyone have trouble with their back? I mean, that's a pretty safe word of knowledge. So I get there. So I struggled with it, but I went ahead and gave it. So I said, is there a John, a Jonathan, or a Johnny here? And then this little boy stood up, about 12-year-old boy, and his name was Johnny. And I gave him a word, I gave it to him, and he ends up giving his life to the Lord. So I go back to my room that afternoon, and then I'm about to come to the meeting that night, and the Lord says, I want you to give that word again. I said, why? For Jonathan and for John. I said, oh, Lord. So I gave the word again, and little Johnny had gone home. He brought his cousin, Jonathan, and his dad, John, and they both get saved that night. So let me tell you, it doesn't always make sense about the prophetic, but God tells you wonderful things that you don't know. heard a man say once, sometimes God has to offend your mind to reveal your heart. I know that happens to me a lot. So number one, believe that God wants to speak to you. Number two, position yourself to hear. People ask how I hear from God, and let me just tell you how it works for me. It may not work the same way for you. First, I find somewhere where I can be free from background noise. We're drowning in noise, folks. We don't know what to do with ourselves when we're not looking at our phone. We're drowning in distraction. Every morning about 5:30 or so, I go up behind my house and I look up at the stars and I say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. And then after I do that, maybe I might worship the Lord with a song. And I'll say, Lord, is there anything you want to say to me? You know, little Samuel said, he said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So I go and say, is there anything you want to say to me? And often God speaks to me in that space. Sometimes he doesn't, but often he does. I position myself to hear regularly by reading my Bible. I spend time worshiping God. I go through that protocol of Psalm 100. I enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. That's my early morning ritual. And then I start to pray in the Spirit. I pray with my mind and I pray with my spirit till my focus is on Jesus. And I ask God to speak to me. And he often does. And I listen. I listen. I do my best to stay tuned in. Sometimes we ask for our laundry list of what we want God to do, and then we run on off to do our thing. You know, I'd feel terrible if my kids or my grandkids just came to me and asked me for a bunch of stuff, but they didn't want to talk to me beyond that. I imagine the father feels that way. I try to stay tuned and I journal what I hear. Then if I hear something, I go to trusted people, spiritually mature friends to confirm what I'm hearing. My question is, why would God not want to speak to you? You're a son, you're a daughter. God doesn't have grandkids. He only has sons and daughters. He wants to speak to you even more than you want him to speak to you. Slow it down 1,000 and listen and ask him to speak and see what happens. All right, let's consider one last thing, personal prophecy. How does that supposed to work? Now, my book explores the concept of a word in season, which King Solomon wrote in Proverbs 15:23. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a timely word in season, how good it is. It just means there's a timeliness about that word. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19, this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage, or the prophecies, you may wage the good warfare, holding on to faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made a shipwreck of their faith. Then he says in chapter 3, verse 14 to Timothy, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders of the presbyteros laid their hands on you. Well, Pastor Tom Lane's not here tonight, so I'm going to talk about him again if you'll promise not to tell him. But we were having a presbytery in our church, and Tom was one of the presbyters. And the week before they came, we had a guy in our church that was a captain, a fireman. He was a captain working for the fire department of Russellville, Arkansas. His name was Micah. Micah came and he said, I really believe the Lord wants me and my wife to be missionaries to Taiwan. And we've been praying about it for a long time. And I knew that they'd been praying about it. He said, but for us to do that, I would have to quit my job. She was a hairstylist. She'd have to quit her job. They'd have to sell their farm and move to Taiwan. And he said, I've got to be sure, Pastor Wayne. I need a solid yes from the Lord to go. So I said, well, we've got a presbytery this weekend. Just come to the meetings, see if God says something to you. So he came. We had meetings Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday, and Sunday night. He came to every meeting, not a single word. Last night, Sunday night, we're just about to wrap up the meeting, and Tom says, I think I've got one more word. He says, well, it's really just one word said three times. And he called out Micah from the back of the room and had him stand up, and he said, Mike, I've just got this one word for you, but I heard it three times. The Lord says, yes, yes, yes. And on the strength of that one word, they sold everything. They moved to Taiwan. They got over there, and for a year, nobody got saved. It was very frustrating. Micah's 6'8". He looked like a giant there. And so people were interested in what he looked like, but they didn't want to hear about Jesus. So he's been there for about a year, and he gets real frustrated. He calls me one Sunday morning, and he says, Pastor Wayne, I had a breakthrough today. He said, I was thinking about giving up, and then I remembered, no, I've got a word from God. The Lord said yes. So they stayed. Now they've been going back and forth for over 10 years. They've led hundreds of Taiwanese to the Lord because they had that one word, yes, that one word in season. Prophecies are useful to help us reach people for Christ, and we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes as well. Let me tell you one more story, then we're going to do a little exercise together. My mentor was a guy from the Latter Rain Movement. His name was Laddie McDonough. First time I saw him, he scared me to death. I was a hippie, long hair, tank top, bell bottoms, no shoes, and I was the pastor. So he comes to our meeting, and he gets up and he starts prophesying, and he at that time he prophesied in King James, you know, if thou wouldst, God canst, and doing all that stuff. So he starts prophesying over me in King James. He's got a black suit on with a white shirt and tie. His hair's combed back, and boy, he's like a duck out of water. I mean, he's in the middle of all these hippies, and he gets a word for me. And he has these big glasses and the biggest Bible you'd ever see. That thing was so thick. He just scared me all over the place. And he said, Brother Wayne, I see you, and you're walking up these large steps, and you're going down these marble halls into the courts of justice, and you're pleading for the little ones. I see that for you. And I thought, this guy's crazy. He's not only scary, he's crazy. I'm a college student, and my wife and I throw 300 papers a day. That's how we make our money, to go to school. So about 2 years ago, two years later, I graduate, and my first job was being a social worker for the state. And my job was to pick up kids that were abused and neglected, and I had to take them away from their parents sometime. One night, I had a little girl that was so terribly abused, I couldn't find a place for her, and we had to bring her out. And it really upset me. And we got her placed with a foster home. And the next day, I'm sitting there at my desk just thinking, I don't think I can do this. I'm not sure this is where God wants me to be. And my secretary comes and gives me a file and says, hurry, you're going to be late. So my office is right around the corner from a courthouse. I go around the corner. I'm going up these big steps. And I'm going down this long marble hall into the courts of justice to plead for this little girl. Now, that wasn't my calling. It was a word in season. A word in season, there's a timeliness. It's not about a calling, like I'm called to pastor and to prophesy. But the Lord knew I would need a word in season where I could do that thing he had for me to do in a timely way. All right? All right, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to explain it to you, and the doors have been locked. No one can get out. We have dogs back there. What I'd like for you to do is someone near you, it might be best if it's not like your husband or your wife, but if there's someone near you, I'd like for you to get in groups of two or three, and I know we're socially distancing, but so it needs to be someone that you're familiar with. And here's what I want you to do, and this is something that people are really uncomfortable with. I want you to look at them right in the face, and I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, would you give me a word for them? Then I'm going to want you to write it down, and I'm going to ask God to speak through you, and then I'm going to ask you to give that word, and then the other person that's by you, they're going to ask the Lord for a word from you. Now, since we're socially distancing, we probably can't go all over the room. You probably ought to just link up with the person that you're near. And it doesn't matter if you know them. God can still speak to you through them. We know in part. We prophesy in part. All right? Now, did you hear me? Nobody can leave. Did you hear that? All right, here's what I want you to do, and we're gonna do this exercise. You're going to write down. You're going to have to be quiet until I say start talking about what you got. So the first part, I just want you to get something out to write on. You might have your phone to record it if you want to. But I want you to look at that person beside you, and I want you to ask the Lord, is there a word that you have for me for that person? And then write it down. Both of you do that. Now, don't be talking. Don't be texting people saying, we're doing this really weird thing here. All right? Let's see what God says. All right, let's be quiet. We're not ready to talk yet. Let's be quiet. You're looking at people. And you're trying to see them, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. All right, here we go. I want to give you 2 minutes to do this. That's all you got. All right. Now, that you, whatever word you've got, it might be a phrase, it might be a word, it might be a scripture, it might be a picture, but I want you to quietly tell that person what you got for them. Then the one that's receiving the word, then I want you to be able to respond if you think that was the Lord or not. Okay, let's do that. I'm going to need someone with a handheld microphone that can go around to get a couple of testimonies in just a minute. All right, now the other one, you give the word that you got, the one that didn't get to talk yet. You give the word that you had. Can we have one of you guys get a handheld mic and come? Are you ready? All right. Okay, I want you to wrap up what you're talking about. I don't want you to have a conversation. I want you to just give the word, okay? All right, you wrapped it up? All right, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to have a few testimonies. If you received a word from someone and you know, you really feel that was the Lord, I want you to raise your hand. You want to tell us what the word was and then why you think it was right for you. This or go right back here. Right there, black. Yeah. Just tell us real briefly what the word was and what it meant to you.
Lord wants you to let go and trust Him. Also says, when you have to all stand, therefore stand. So my son, I'm going through a lot with my son, and I need to let it go. And my husband even said, you need to let it go. Wow. Yet I'm praying, and God has given me scriptures. So I'm supposed to let it go, but I'm supposed to continue to stand on those scriptures that I've been praying.
Amen. So you think that was the word of the Lord for you? Amen. Somebody else, who else has a testimony? There's some over here. The word that was given and how you received it. There's a couple over here.
So I spoke with Chris right now, and I looked at him, and I just closed my eyes because that's the way I usually like to pray. And I just got, Holy Spirit, please stay near and dear to Chris' heart. And he said that's what he'd been praying for.
Wow, fantastic. There's a guy right back there. Great.
And then I sit there and waited, and I got nothing.
You got nothing?
I got nothing. For Desiree. But I'm expecting I'll get it at 3 o'clock this coming morning.
That's not a problem. Somebody else? A couple more? There's one in the very back there. I'm glad to see a couple of men standing up.
I got a word from Joni, and it simply says, keep moving forward. And I could feel God all over this, because this morning I was at a service that my son was preaching at, and he asked me how the word settled in my spirit what he preached. And it was about relationships, and I told him I've been struggling with a few relationships, and his words exactly were, breathe in, breathe out, and move forward. And this is exactly what she gave me.
Fantastic. Confirmation. You know, God often speaks through these words a confirmation of something that's already been heard. A couple more real quick. Well, there's a gal down here, and there's a gal over there. Well, the gals are outnumbering the guys.
Well, I know this gal thought, she thought, I've got one word for her, and it's teddy bear. And what she doesn't know is that's a word from the Lord, because it's comfort.
Amen.
So it's good.
Amen. Good. A gal right down here in front. He's coming to you.
I'm getting ready to stand up. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. The Lord said I was whole healing and health. And it's been like a couple of days. I've been healed. I couldn't walk. I mean, I had something major, and I was healed on the 8th. I went to prayer center. My legs are still swollen, but I'm doing very, very well. So I was asking the Lord that. Plus, I want medical evidence for my miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from the Lord. I know it is.
Amen. Amen. One other? Right here. This lady in the front.
The word that was spoken to me was, God loves my inquisitiveness to him.
Yeah.
And I'm always asking the Lord, explain, show me, tell me, so I know what to do. And what does this mean? How does this work? All the time. And I do share with my friends that I ask the Lord these things. And they've kind of told me, well, why would you question the Lord? You know, why do you ask him such things? And so I thought, well, Lord, am I offending you by asking for clarity and wanting to know these things? And I guess not.
That means the Lord likes who he made in you. I think there's one more in the very back, right over there, way back there. We're giving Ryan a workout here tonight.
So deep breath. She just said, I think you're trying to make a decision, something along those lines, decision. And, you know, 2 minutes prior, you said that you were in social work. And I told her, I went to school for broadcasting. I was a news producer and got this degree. I'm not using it anymore, but I just feel in my heart that God wants me to go into social work.
Wow.
And then the second you said it, I'm like, oh, I couldn't breathe. And then I tell her, I've been trying to wrestle with social work, going back to school. It's all this money. And she said, I'm a social worker. I used to do what he did. I'm like, oh, so... That's all.
Very good, very good. Now, this group over here is real underrepresented. We have at least one person over there that has a story in this section. There we go.
Pastor Ryan said he saw me taking a step in the natural, but it was supernatural. And for me, I think that was, I've just been like, not struggling, but fighting with the Lord as far as like me stepping out in faith and sharing my faith with, you know, my coworkers around me. And, you know, today I got to witness to two of my coworkers. And, you know, in the natural, it's like, oh, this is ridiculous, you know, like, but there's something supernatural about it. And it's just so awesome to see the Lord, you know, working Amen. Through my life. Amen. And it just motivates me to do it even more, you know. So
very good. Very good. Let's give the Lord a hand clap there for all of you. Let me just give this one word I got when I walked in. There's a man right in the middle with a gray mask, and that's you, glasses. Can you stand up and shout out your name? Here's what I got for you. Just before I was introduced, I just heard this. When I looked at you, there's nothing to be afraid of. God has gone before you. The steps of faith he asked for, he will meet you and walk with you at every step he asks you to take. The changes that came that seemed beyond your control were actually not surprising to the Lord. And there's direction from the Lord there. There's going to be a pivot in December to see things more clearly as you enter the new that God has for you in 2021. Amen? That makes sense? Good, good, good. Okay, here's... although I'm saying it's not weird, I don't want you to hear me saying it's not spectacular. It's wonderful what just happened there. Some of you probably prophesied for the first time over someone else. Some of you heard from those testimonies that God can speak through me to other people. It's wonderful. It's spectacular. Prophecy is powerful. It's been used to extend the kingdom of God. It's been used to encourage. It's also been used to abuse. It's been used to manipulate. It's been used to draw people to a personality. So we've got a lot to look at over these next five classes. We've got another class in just a little bit. But I wanted you to just jump in the deep end and just entertain the possibility that God might want to speak through you. And I want you to remember it, that it was absolutely wonderful. And as we go through these next few classes, by the end of it, I promise you're going to have more confidence. You're going to be more clear that God can use you. He does speak. He'll speak through you. And we'll have some guardrails so it doesn't get off into some dark something. But it's going to be all about the Lord and His glory. Amen? All right, we're going to take about a 15-minute break. Do you need to say anything else? All right. Take about a 15-minute break and then come back for workshop number 2.